Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. So this channel is quite close to my heart because I train coaches in embodiment. I mean, why? Because if you don't work with the body, you're missing a lot. Whether you're a coach, a therapist, facilitator, whatever, that's how you go deep quickly. That's how you do stuff that's sticky. We have to take the body into account. This channel is sponsored by Dylan Newcombe and Uzazu Embodied Intelligence. Dylan is a genius, quite simply put, and I wouldn't say that about many people in this field. I've been studying with Dylan for, God, the first time was probably 10 years ago in the Netherlands. Speaks fluent Dutch, by the way, as well as Korean and a few other languages. What I love about Dylan is his ability to make models of things, looking at how embodiment works. His system, Uzazu, U-Z-A-Z-U, is really all about state shifting. So I think of him as the sort of master of state changing, how we can shift our state, our client's state, and how we can develop ourselves through those different ways of being. So I think for coaches and therapists, it's like easy to learn, practical toolkit. I've used it myself over the years. So if you want a 3-day online training with Dylan, then look at the link below, or you can go to Uzazu, uzazu.org. And even easier, he's got an embodied assessment there you can do as well. We all love doing these little tests about ourselves, but this is an embodied one. So there you go. Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. I'm gonna be on this one a lot just because there's lots of cool people on here. Lots of people, I think, you know, well worth a listen. Embodiment in facilitation is so necessary. So from me to you, welcome.
So today we're so blessed to have Bibi Hansen, who will be presenting on presence-based coaching. And you can see her biography on the Embodiment Conference website. And just to share something special about Bibi, I've had the privilege of training with her in many different modalities. And she is the founder of the DC Somatic Group, a group of people that get together to practice somatics on a monthly basis here in the Northern Virginia, Washington, DC, Maryland area. And Bibi shared that she has a new granddaughter, Sophia, who's 19 months old, and she's anxiously awaiting to be able to see her in person as their engagements have been virtually given our current environment. So with that, I'd like to turn over to Bibi. Please engage in your chat as this is going to be experiential. And if you would chat when you chat, choose all panelists and attendees so that we can see your responses to Bibi's questions. Thank you so much, Bibi.
Thank you, Luann. Just to clarify, I have seen this baby since she was born. And I haven't seen her since January of this year, a little right before the pandemic hit. So my daughter lives in Louisiana. So I'm definitely missing squeezing that new one. And she is a joy to my heart. So welcome everyone to presence-based coaching and using presence to leverage change and also embodiment to leverage change. So this is one of my favorite topics, embodiment, and it's a piece of what we do at presence-based coaching. So I'm happy to share this short time really with you and hopefully impart some of the pearls that you can take away in service to your own clients. That's what I'm hoping, that you will find your gifts in what I share, some of the principles of this work that I love so much, and you will be able to take it out into the world and serve those that you care about. So that is my intent, is that you be in touch with yourself at the core. And that's what presence-based coaching is about. We'll talk about that a little bit more. And I'm happy to connect really with this gigantic global learning community. So it's really fun to be able to share this work with you. And let's see how it lands for you in your body. So we're going to begin with an opening presence and embodiment practice. That's what I do with my coaching clients, something like this. And also I'm sure many of you do as well. And this actually, this I want to say this presentation is not only for coaches, even though we're on the coaching and therapy channel, it can be for therapists, it can be for any body workers, yoga teachers, any kind of practitioners that want to support people to change, make the changes they want in their lives. Definitely I teach coach training, and I work with leaders also around this work. So just to be clear. So let's begin. So I'm going to invite you to stand if you can, and if you want, and if you're not standing, that's totally fine too. Just take a stand. I'm actually going to stand as well so that we can actually feel into our bodies. So I'm going to make sure. There we go, that you're not getting the glare too much. All right, oh, that feels good. All right, so if you invite you to stand if you'd like. And this is a practice, a centering practice in three dimensions that was originated for me from Richard Strozzi Heckler of Strozzi Institute. And I've reimagined it over the years with permission. So here it is. Any object in space has three dimensions, length, width, and depth. So we're going to center along those dimensions right now. So the first is to feel your feet. Feel your connection to the earth in this moment. Kind of take a deep breath inward and bring your attention into the sensations of your body. In the US, it's 5 o'clock, so it's sort of the end of the workday, and it may be a way different time zone, or you may be listening to this after. But wherever it is, wherever you are in this moment, just bring your attention inward. So gathering yourself here for this class together, this learning opportunity. And move your attention down to your feet, as I said. So just feel yourself rooting down like the big oak tree into the earth. Whatever that means to you, however you do that, let yourself feel the ground of this beautiful planet in which we all inhabit and have a place. So there's stability here on the earth, even though we're kind of spinning through space, there is gravity and there is a stability in our, and we can rely on our ability to stay connected to the ground. We forget about that a lot, of course, when we're in our heads, which most of us are, at least in the West. And so you can really sense the ground. So that's making a different kind of awareness now. And root down into that stable ground that is this earth. So from that ground, I'm going to also ask you to extend upwards as if you had a book on the top of your head. So extending the back of your neck, not your chin, and lengthen lengthwise. And so this is like the branches of the oak tree. So you don't necessarily have to put your arms out. You can if you like, but really it's about grounding, rooting into stability, and expanding upward into the sky. So unfurling your branches and the leaves on your branches as you inhabit dignity. So this is the dimension we call dignity. So needed right now with all the many disruptions we are facing. So here we are inhabiting dignity for all. So now I'm gonna ask you to rock side to side gently, and you can pretend that there is a shore of an ocean or a river on either side of you, and you're sort of in the middle. So we can expand our energy shore to shore here. And this is the width dimension. We call this the dimension of belonging. So you belong here. And so when you're rocking side to side, come to a center point here in the middle that is expanded on either side. So letting your heart be here. And sense your belonging to this learning community, this global, incredible learning community, community of practice, we also can call that. And taking your place here. So finding your place within this group in this moment. So that's belonging. And now the depth dimension. So you can rock back and forward a little bit until you find a nice center place. So what I love about somatic and embodiment work is there's so many beautiful metaphors. And so behind us is the past, if you will. We could take that as a metaphor. It's what's come before. And in front of us is what's unfolding, yet to be written. And so many of us find ourselves sort of stuck in the past and old stories that no longer serve or old habits and patterns. And some of us leap toward the future, not really knowing what's happening, but just doing something to get there. And so what I'm going to invite you to do now is to find the center point between the past and the future. So sensing the present moment. So just notice what that's like for you and see if there is some sort of different sense in your core. Maybe a sense of stillness, a sense of relaxation, So just coming home to yourself. So presence can be a place where you come home to. It's a sense of home. And maybe in the lower core of yourself, that natural sense of gravity here, your center of gravity in the human body. And I'm going to ask you, what are you organizing around right now? It may seem like an interesting question. We are always organizing around something. So what are we organizing? What are you organizing around right now? So things you could organize around would be something you care about, a person, pet, nature. You could organize around your purpose or your values or what you're committed to in service of others as a coach or allied profession. So just answer that question for yourself. What am I organizing around right now? And is it what I'm choosing? Is it what I want to be organizing around? And if not, choose something else. All right. Thank you for that centering embodiment presence practice. And I am going to invite you to sit down now and lean forward into the chat. And please definitely select panelists and attendees so we can all see. And I'm going to ask you to do an inner state check right now. It's interesting, Mark was talking about inner state on the intro video, and that's a big piece of our work as well in presence-based coaching and leadership. So just put one or two words as you notice yourself. What's different? What's different in this moment than when you first came onto the call 12 minutes ago? What do you notice? You could be more relaxed. You could be more optimistic. You could be feeling that crick in your neck that's still there or becoming more prominent. Calm, beautiful. I'd like to see some more of you writing in. I'm more at peace, feeling nice and connected, beautiful. So who else would share? Peaceful. Thank you, Colleen. Thank you for letting your face be seen. I'm enjoying watching you. I'd love to have more folks if they want to be a panelist so we can be more connected. Peaceful, curious. Yeah, great. So what I find out in doing these types of embodiment and presence practices with my clients, so we've got another calm, thank you, Holly, is that it actually is a state shifter. So this is a practice, you may already be doing something like this, and if not, please take this one so that you can actually work with it with yourself so that you can begin to recognize that you have a deep, still well of presence within you, within your body, that you can draw on for resilience. This is the other piece of what's so needed right now in this global pandemic. I'll speak to that. Not only do we really, really crave, at least my students and participants and clients are really craving authentic connection, real connection. I think that's part of what I'm hearing about Zoom lately and this Zoom fatigue, which is of course very real, is that there is a place where Zoom can feel not authentic. And I feel like I'm hearing that quite a bit. And so I would just invite you to recognize our need as humans for authentic connection. And in some ways, this is like with my granddaughter, Zoom or FaceTime is the only way I can connect with her. And so we just need that. So honoring what we need, you know, as a body, as a human, as an emotional self. And so that's one big piece is connection. And then the other is to feel settled, to have our nervous system feel settled and grounded. There is so much triggering going on in the current circumstances of humanity that it's not possible to not be triggered almost. I mean, it's happening, you know, or if you turn on the news, you'll hear it, especially in this country, in the US, we're getting ready to go into an election in 2 weeks. So there's just a lot in the field. So, yeah, so that's what I would say. I invite you to practice this whenever you want a reliable way to feel at home and regulated in your nervous system, centered, grounded, neutral, and then also with your clients and support them to cultivate that. Okay, let's see what else here. So this is also an attention practice. So we are using the body as an anchor for ourselves because the body can only be here and now. The body can only be present. And of course, our minds and hearts can be forward and backwards and are in the future and the past. And so it's really lovely to realize this is also an attention practice. So where we choose to put our attention becomes really, really important in cultivating our presence. So I'll talk about that a little bit more. So I don't know if many of you, some of you may not know this work. And I just want to say it's from Doug Silsby, my mentor and close friend, who was the founder and creator of this work. And I created the work with him for many, many years. And he died a couple of years ago of cancer, unexpectedly, in a very short cancer run. So I stepped in, and that's who I am now. I'm stepping in to hold the legacy of this work that we shaped for many, many years together with many other people also. I've had a lot of support around his death and since his death. So I'm just thanking many, many of you, Luann being one of them on this call. So I wanna say just a little bit about the five or so streams. There's many others that inform the work because it's gonna help you understand, I think, what I'm gonna talk about in a moment. So we have obviously embodiment. That's and somatics. That's really one of our key pieces. Also, interpersonal neurobiology. So we have a thread of neuroscience in here. We have some adult development, also known as developmental psychology. We have mindfulness, lots of mindfulness practices. Doug's first book was titled The Mindful Coach. It's a really good book. It's a classic. And then all of these streams are underpinned by the cultivation of presence, both for ourselves as practitioners and also for our clients. We believe that our clients actually are very served by cultivating their own presence in service of their change, of whatever change they want to make in their lives. So that's what we do. So I'm going to talk about how we can cultivate leverage and embodiment to leverage change. So I'm going to talk about what presence is. I'm going to talk about what gets in the way of our presence. I'm going to talk about how the embodiment of presence supports all coaching moves that we make with our clients. And then also we'll have a couple of times for questions. So if you have questions, I think Luann is supposed to ask them in the Q&A. Is that right?
Correct. Please put your questions in the Q&A box, which is located in the center bottom of your screen. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So let's begin here. So I'm going to share my screen with a quote, and this is from Doug's latest book, Presence-Based Leadership, his last book. And this, I love this quote. So this is his definition. There were many in the book, but the one I like the best is, presence is an internal state. It is the inclusive awareness of stillness, possibility, and immediacy. So let that just wash over you. So we see presence is actually an embodied state. It's in the body. It's internal to us. So I think that's a unique way we hold presence, and how to cultivate presence includes the body, obviously. So I just wanted to share that with you. So what we say is that presence is actually the state of our nervous system. It's the state of our awareness in any moment. It's the state of our consciousness. So it's a state we can cultivate. So another thread that we have in presence-based coaching is doing and being. So this interrelated double helix, if you want to look at a DNA or imagine a DNA strand of doing and being. So in coaching or in any change, we work with our clients around both of those threads. So doing and being. So what we say is that the being who we be, who we are, actually impacts what we're able to do. And what we're able to do impacts us as who we are. So there's this always this intersection or open system between the two. And that we have noticed throughout the years that as we pay attention to both streams of being and doing, it's actually becomes an accelerant for our development as humans, for our development as adults, and also our development as humans. So it's a really robust and powerful way to help our clients grow. And that's kind of what we're about here. We do developmental coaching, we do leadership coaching, and we're really helping our clients grow themselves. So that's enough about that. I want to say, how do we cultivate our presence? How do we, as practitioners, cultivate our own presence? And we have to do that, of course. We have to do our own work as one of our principles before we can help others or earn the right to help others. We need to have walked the road that we are helping people walk themselves. And so a more precise question would be, what gets in the way of my presence? And so that's what we're going to talk about now. This is our version of what gets in the way of our presence. So just let yourself look at this if you haven't seen it before. We call it the bell jar. And so it's a picture of another word for it we use is our habit nature. So you can see there's several words around here. So we have somatic shape, so that makes sense. Our posture, our shape, and that includes sensations. Our narratives, our inner stories, how we what we tell ourselves about what's going on, and also what's possible in the world, what the world is like inside, and who are we in that world, and who are others in that world. So there's that. There's also emotions, of course. So we have a lot of mood and emotions that can actually impact how we see things. Interpretations. We all have a structure of interpretation. And so we have like these underlying, if anyone knows an iceberg model, in coaching where you have a lot under the water and you can sort of see what's on top, but it's a very small portion of what's actually driving behavior with us and with our clients. So interpretations is a big thing. It's about assumptions and beliefs and kind of who what we take to be bedrock reality, which may or may not be that. And then we have filters. So the bell jar acts as a filter. So it lets certain things, only certain things out, and it also filters what might be coming inward. And so into us. So we can see we have a certain amount of filtering going on all the time when we live inside our habit nature. So what I want to say about habit nature, and this is, mind you, just to remind you what gets in the way of our own presence. Oh, I lost my thread. I was just, my mind went straight off to the chat. So interesting. All right. Anyway, I'll come back. Oh, I know. What I want to say about habit nature is three things. So one, it's embodied. This sort of makes sense to us that are interested in this embodiment work. Just think about it. We learned, I'm watching my granddaughter now learn to crawl and now learn to walk. And now she's learning to speak and she's touching different parts of her body. And she can really understand things much better now. And she does recognize who I am. She does say Gamma when she sees me, even on FaceTime. So of course that makes me very happy because I want to just squeeze her and hug her and can't do that quite yet. So habits are embodied. We learn them. She's learning them through her body. We all learn experientially through our body. We may think we learn cognitively, and that's one of the channels we learn through, but we also learn as a whole body. This is another piece of presence-based coaching, by the way. We work with with our clients' wholeness, with everyone's wholeness. So we're using our whole selves here to make change, and that includes the embodied habits that have served us for so long and may get to a point where they no longer serve us. So that's one piece about habit nature. Another piece is that it is conditioned. We are conditioned creatures. We grow up moving toward what we want and moving away from what we don't want. It's just who we are as humans. And this is our conditioning. This is the way we were shaped by our environment and the circumstances into which we were born. And we continue those patterns. We are conditioned. And the thing about conditioning is that it's actually pretty automatic. Our habits are automatic. So we call them a default. And so when certain things sound, feel, look, sense familiar to us, you know, we sort of, neuroscience tells us, we sort of go to quick links. We sort of go to, oh yeah, this is that. This is the behavior I need to do. And that's okay until it becomes problematic, which is of course why folks come to coaching, because they want to change something about that sort of automatic nature. And a lot of habits are under the radar. They're not in our awareness because they work for us, or they do to a certain extent work for us. until they don't. And then, like, as I said, we have coaching to help with that, or therapy, or other allied professions to help with that. So how many of us have actually driven home and not realized you were driving till you got home? I have. I'm in default mode. I'm in automatic mode. My mind is elsewhere as my body is driving. So that's what we want to pay attention to when we're working with habit nature. So what is sort of under the radar? And we have a move, another slide, that how we work with this. And it's this slide. So just let that land for you for a moment. So we call this witness, wake up, and shift. So a couple of things here. It looks a lot different on the outside of the landscape this person is in once they have lifted their own bell jar through coaching or therapy or whatever. So it looks a lot greener. You can see the difference here. If I go back to the other one, it looks kind of dull out there. I mean, it looks nice in there. And of course, it's safe and comfortable in our habits and our patterns and our strategies. And sometimes we begin to outgrow them. And so as we enter into coaching or a helping profession, we can see something different. So this represents the aha moment, the moment of insight, where we actually see what we're doing. We see how we're sabotaging ourselves, or we're seeing, we are perceiving, oh, I've been thinking that I actually can't have my own voice because of early stuff. You know, not that we're going back there, unless you're a therapist and coaching, we don't go back there, but we know we can look back and point and touch on that and say, yeah, I got this message early on. This is my personal message I'm sharing, that I can't speak up. I can't actually have a voice as a woman, particularly with my father, and nobody really wants to hear what I have to say. So I can see that suddenly in a coaching session. I can say, oh, is that true? Is that really true now? Not so much. And I've run against this habit that served me well for many, many years as I'm stepping into the leadership, or as I have been stepping into the leadership of the business that holds this work. So that is the moment of awareness. We also call it, we follow the Robert Keegan line of adult development, and he calls it the subject-object move. So that's what we call it as well, to honor him. So basically, that's when we take something we're subject to and we make an object. We move it outside of ourselves so that we can see it for reflection. We can say, oh, wow, I thought I couldn't actually speak up in that moment or in that conversation or with that person. And I see right now, I actually can. I can have my voice in this situation or circumstance. So that's what this represents. That's what this graphic represents. And of course, noticing when we are triggered is actually an indicator to us that we are not present. It's a little counterintuitive, but that's how we work with cultivating presence. So I want to invite you to remember that when you notice you are triggered with your spouse or with the news or with whatever, something at work, to wake up right there, witness, wake up, and shift to, oh, I'm becoming present now because I can see more. I can see that I'm triggered. So suddenly I'm holding that as object. Ah, and what that creates is a little bit of space. So that space of the subject-object move allows us to make a different choice. And this is really important because our habits are usually, our default habits, are usually making choices for us. To see if that resonates with you. So our habits, our strategies, our patterns that get us what we want and move us away from what we don't want. That's what's choosing where we put our attention. So by the way, we call those attachments and aversions. Those attachments to what we want to happen and the aversions to what we don't want to happen. Just feel those in your body as I'm talking about them. So, you know, you can really feel the urge to move away from something you don't want, or to reject it, or to judge it. And also you can feel this movement towards something, like I really need to be outside. I'm attached to being outside in the fresh air, which is true for me right now, especially many of us with the pandemic. And it's not necessarily a bad or good thing. We just want to see it. We just want to become aware. We want to wake up to it so that we have more choice. Is this a good direction I'm going? Or should I make a different choice? Or can I make a different choice that's more life generative or more in line with my values or what I'm a stand for? So that's what we're working with here. Let me see what else to say about this. Yeah, so this is really about executive control of attention. This is really about where, like grabbing back our own executive control of attention so that we're not at the mercy of it. We don't have to follow it. So we can choose where we put our attention. So I'm going to stop there and see what questions we have. And you're invited to say more now. I'll put more in the Q&A.
Thank you. Thank you, Bibi. Again, please put your questions into the Q&A, and there's an opportunity to vote for questions. I'm seeing some really good questions in the chat, and if you could just get them over to the Q&A, we really would appreciate it. So Bibi, TiVo is asking, Doug left a beautiful and profound legacy. How are you both innovating and aligning with the legacy work and impact?
What a great question. Oh yes, my goodness.
I thought you'd love that.
Yeah. So read it one more time, if you will.
Doug left a beautiful and profound legacy. How are you both innovating and aligning with the legacy work and impact?
Yes, I love that question. Thank you, TiVo. So what I would say is that I think when I first started, this is my third year, it was really more around aligning. I wanted to make sure I was honoring the legacy and the way we had come to teach the work together. And there are other people teaching besides me, but he and I were the main ones, and how we had shaped it. So I kept it pretty much the same. So I was just checking for alignment, you know, and because it worked and it was also what I cared about deeply and it impacted, you know, our participants, our students. And now, as I'm on my own journey, this actually connects back to what I was saying about my own voice. Now I'm really finding I'm beginning to innovate. I'm beginning to add my own voice to the work. So the centering practice I did are my own words. I mean, some of them are my own. It's a blend of Doug's and Richard's. So it's a definite innovation there. And also, I think I've had to, as many of us, adjust to the Zoom environment. And part of me feels so incredibly grateful that this material has translated. You know, it's not always possible, you know, and I have other colleagues that have less than good results with it. So I'm grateful to Doug because this isn't a beautiful work, as you said. And also I'm grateful for the technology and I'm grateful for my team. Because I have a group of people that teach with me and do our own innovation and exploration and translation into this format. And I must say, it's been going really well. So I'm actually surprised how well it works. And you can see my heart's feeling delighted about how well it's working, both because I want to continue to move the work further out into the world and also because, you know, it's actually kind of fun to change it. And so I feel a lot more freedom now. At this stage of the game of changing it. And I actually have been writing my own blog posts. So that's another way I've been innovating. And I'm really shaping this piece of work that hasn't come out in a while, which is the presence-based resilience work. It's on our website now, but yeah, it needs to be reshaped. So that's my next big project over the winter. And you know, that's innovation. So great question. And I appreciate that.
How exciting. And as the recipient of your blog posts, I so appreciate the messages just seem to come at the right time with the right message. And so thank you for bringing that work into the world.
Thanks.
So yeah. You're welcome. So the next question is from Stefan. The question is, Bibi, how do we introduce these concepts to a client who is a fact-oriented leader and who has never experienced this?
Yeah, it's a very common question. Great question. So what I say is that we all have a body. So whether we are in touch with it or not, you know, this is what the embodiment work is about, whether we're in touch with it or not to different degrees. You know, we're not exactly all really literate in being in touch with our sensations or our emotions, especially folks that are very technical. You know, we have a lot in the technical space here these days. And so I've worked with scientists, and I've also worked with tech people, you know, software developers. And so they are very oriented in that way, numbers oriented, prove it to me, evidence. And so what we say is, first of all, do your own work so that you're familiar with working with embodiment practices and with presence practices so that you can come across at least as somewhat competent in them, because you've had the experience, as I was saying earlier, you've walked the trail or walked the road that you're taking someone down. And the other piece is to start small. So you don't have to do a whole, you know, 5-minute centering practice with your client in the very first session. So you have to create a little trust and safety for a bit and start really small. So you might make a distinction. You might say, so can you say what you really care about with your team in the shape you're in right now? Just say it. And then let's try it as you're sitting or standing differently and you actually come from your heart. And then just ask the difference. So create a distinction. What do you see differently? What do you notice differently? So once again, asking ourselves to really pay attention, put our attention where we want it, including self-observations, is what cultivates presence and the ability to have choice. So I hope that answers for a while. Start there. Oh, you're muted still.
Thank you, Bibi. Are you open for one more question before we move on?
Sure.
Okay. So again, from TiVo, and I really am excited to hear your, the question is surrounded around the distinction between centering. Is centering equal to presence? And also asks, is presence equivalent to a generative state? If not, what are the differences and similarities?
Yeah, so I would say yes to the last part. So to me, presence is an internal state, and it's a state of our being, and it impacts our doing. And so if we're triggered, anxious, agitated, we're going to do something different than if we're grounded, centered, open, neutral, relaxed, and in touch with our own state of presence. So what was the first part?
So the question, actually, I read it the opposite of the way it was written. So I'll just read. Is presence equivalent to a generative state? If not, what are the differences and similarities? And then is centered equal to presence?
Yeah, so I think I might use centered as an equivalent of presence. I guess what we want to say is that centering is a way of organizing our attention. So you can hear the words I used in that practice, which has a lot to do with how we organize ourselves and where we put our attention, where we place our attention. And we want to be a choice around that. So center is a very shortcut word for a pretty impactful state when we can actually see more about what's going on in with ourselves, in our relationships, in the systems that we're embedded in. So we can actually wake up and see a lot more from the state of presence. And so that's what I'll say about it.
Great.
Hopefully that answers, TiVo. Thank you, Luann.
You're welcome.
You're the next best thing to talking to people live, which of course I totally prefer. So here we are. I'm just gonna do a little, TiVo, maybe this will help a little bit too. I'm gonna do another slide here, my last slide around, almost last slide. Around presence. It's just a little sort of rundown of how we see presence and presence-based coaching. And so you can see where this resonates with you in your practice with clients. And then we'll see what you have to say. All right, here we go. So presence. So presence, and this is specifically about coaching or leadership, or any kind of therapy or service, of course, allied professions. So presence allows us to listen from an internal state. It allows a whole body engagement in listening. And as we know, when someone, and you can feel that in my attention to you right now, even though I don't see you, I know you're there. And I can feel my organizing myself around giving you these concepts with care and kindness and hope that you will learn something for yourself and for your clients. So this involves my whole body. So you can just feel that in your body. See what you notice as I'm talking. So presence allows us to learn to listen from a whole body sort of state. And it's a light and flexible focus that can meet what's happening in the moment without planning ahead. We don't need to know. We just need to be. We need to be with what's happening internally with us as a coach and what's happening with the client. And of course, we can ask them what's happening internally with them. And sometimes it's visible to us. So presence also allows us to wake up in the moment to the moment. So this is connected to witness, wake up, and shift, but it's different, a little bit different. So we want to work in the present moment. So we want to work with what's arising with them. I said this already, and with our own experience, especially if we're triggered, especially if we as coaches are triggered. So how many of us have had the experience of a client triggering us? Be honest. They're working on something that's close to home for you that you haven't really resolved, or they're still like their tires are going in the mud and they're not going anywhere. They're spinning their wheels and it's like, come on, get off of it, you know, or whatever it is. So we can be triggered. We're humans, of course. So as we waking up to that in the moment allows us to make a different choice than we would, you know, we could do something differently as we're being differently. So the other piece of presence is to allows us to recognize and be present with old habits, both ours and our clients, that no longer serve. So we want to really, as we have that aha moment, as we wake up, we actually have the choice to inhabit a different perspective. And I talked about that, but I'm just sort of saying that again with different words. So we do have an opportunity to wake up to what's happening we hadn't seen previously and to make a different choice. So also habits that show up for coaches, just in case you just, what do I want to say with that? I guess you will recognize yourself in some of these. I'm going to say some of the habits that we show up with in coaching that we show up with in our other relationships. So this is what I love about coaching, actually, because we can work on ourselves so that we serve others, and we can serve others so we can work on ourselves. That's a Pema Chodron quote. So this is this lovely open system dance that we're in all the time in our own development as coaches, both at skill level and in being level. So we can hold an agenda as a coach. That might be a habit we have. We know where they need to go. We're going to make that happen for them. Or we could push for action. So yeah, that's really where the meat is. We need to do something different. You client, you need to do something different. Or we can have this kind of fixer mentality, or even a rescuer mentality. We have to solve the problem for the client. I know what you should do. You should try this. We can also, in our own habits, move away from discomfort. So if the client is accessing some emotion like we have trouble with, we haven't really resolved within ourselves, then we can sort of, we can move away from that. Let's not go there. Let's ask the question in a different direction, which is not really serving the client. Or also we can over-identify with the client's issue. So, you know, we can't have that really distance. So we can be neutral and service of the client. So that's that one. Presence allows us to be settled and grounded so we can be calm and creative, especially when the context feels challenging. So that can feel challenging in terms of our client content. It can feel challenging on our skill level and self-doubt. It can feel challenging on all the disruptions that are happening in our world right now. So how can we feel settled and grounded? So practices, body-mind practices like centering, like meditation, actually help us become more grounded and settled. And when we are activated, when our nervous system is activated, we can actually, as a whole body, come back to neutral. So that's what we're cultivating now. Another piece here, presence allows us to become aware of the relational field in coaching. So this actually, many of us feel this and know this from experience, or even if you're a new coach, you can see that a coaching conversation is actually different than other conversations. And that's because there is a relational field between each of us, me as coach and you as client, or you as coach and me as client. So there's a field that's created there that is a container, and it actually provides scaffolding. So if I'm present, I'm actually present with you, and there's a field that surrounds us. It's like an atmosphere, and it can become very palpable, and it gets built over time. So the more we're with the same client, you know, if we have a 6-month engagement, you know, that deepens and that builds as trust and safety builds. And also as we get to know each other, and we have become in a good way of working with each other. You know, we have discover our own process, you know, in partnership around that. Presence allows the creation of spaciousness. So this is one of the new ICF competency model words for those that are familiar with International Coach Federation. So spaciousness and presence are also synonymous to me, to answer that earlier question that was posed. I actually feel spaciousness, and ICF adds words like silence, you know, and time for reflection and all of those great things. I really feel that spaciousness is a quality of presence. There is a feeling of there's nowhere to go. There's no place to get to. Just being together in that relational field and with lots of space internally. I'm holding that as a coach so that the client can feel that. We also say in presence-based coaching that presence is a coaching competency, obviously. It's one of their competencies. And it's also a deliverable. So we actually believe that, let me check the time here. We believe that our clients need to cultivate that ability to wake up and to be present to what's going on in the moment so that they can make a shift. So this is what we're helping them cultivate as well as us cultivating. And the last slide is, we suggest the present moment is actually the only moment where change happens. Let that land in your body. So we can imagine that change happens in the past or the future, but actually it happens now. So in presence-based coaching, we learn to really work in the present moment, the spacious present moment, because that's where it happens. That's where the shifts happen. So you can think about that as we, as I pause and ask some questions. See what you've got, Luann.
Lovely, Bibi. So Kali is asking, you describe such a gentle embracing process in presence-based leadership. Can you share an example of working with a client?
Yeah, it's very interesting. So I'll say, I'm sorry, it's in a way that it's webinar format, although sometimes you can do coaching demos. There's not also enough time. I do like doing coaching demos because I think it illustrates presence more than talking about it. So hopefully you're feeling presence here in this space among 32 of us. And even those that listen after can sense in. So I would invite you to do that in terms of an embodiment skill. Sense into your heart and into your lower belly, you know, that center of intelligence, and see what you're noticing, you know, there. So yeah, I think it is very gentle. And I think that's part of the spaciousness as well as the presence and the embodiment of it, because there is really nowhere to go. And it's about trusting the process. So in coaching, we say trusting the coaching process. So knowing that coaching methodology is very well honed, and we each training school brings their own version of it. And ours is very gentle and just holding space. And we find that, and of course we're asking questions and, you know, evoking awareness and those kind of things and holding accountability and saying, what do we want to work on? You know, getting clear about that. And there's a place where it's just sort of a gentle invitation, including the body, especially, of what your experience right now. And what I've come to learn over the years, and this is true in life as well as in coaching, what I've come to learn over the years is that I can trust. I can trust, you know, if I miss something the client's saying, they'll say it again until I get it, until I say, oh yeah, this is really the core of what they want changed or whatever. So I'm trusting that the unfoldment of this human in front of me, who is creative, resourceful, and whole, is actually on track. And I'm a support. I'm a partner. Mm. I don't have to get them anywhere. And so it does result in a sort of a gentle holding. And I think we all have sort of an internal drive, you know, to evolve. And this is true in adult development theory for me personally. Yeah. We all have that. And if we have the right container with a caring human, you know, then a lot happens.
Absolutely. I like to characterize that as I'm the guide on the side, not the sage on the stage.
Love it.
Yeah. So with that, Bibi, for the recording, and Sarah, our tech host, will put in the chat, would you, there's questions about do you coach groups and what are your typical clients? So if you would share your website so that it's on the recording. And
it's all on there. Yes, great. Yeah. So it's presencebasedcoaching.com. Just like it sounds, presencebasedcoaching.com. No lines or dots or anything. Just one big word.
Great.
And you can see my bio and, of course, all of our classes. And everything's virtual right now, as many others are.
Thank you. And I've had the privilege of hearing you deliver that presentation in many different contexts. And what I love about it, it's like a diamond. It's a gem, right? It's a facet, because each time I hear with new ears and see with new eyes. And, you know, it's the learning spiral, right? We cut back and we see a deeper knowing. Yeah. So thank you. Such a privilege to work with you again.
And so I would say one thing to that before you do that. I want to say one thing to that, which is you're also different. So we're each meeting the work differently because we're always evolving.
Yes.
So just, and I of course know you. So I've seen that too.
Thank you.
So I have one more slide. Can we do that at the end?
Sure. If you go ahead and we'll do that now, and then I'll make some announcements, and then we have our one last question for you.
Oh, so maybe we'll do that. I'll wait till then.
The very end.
Okay,
great.
Slide at the end.
Okay.
Perfect.
So thank you, everyone. Thank you, Bibi. Thank you all who have attended this presentation. Know that our next presentation at 7 p.m. is the keynote with Dan Siegel and Alanis Morissette on interpersonal neurobiology. And in the coaching and therapy channel, we have at 9 p.m. Eastern time, Bonnie Weiss on internal family systems therapy. So we've created some private Facebook groups for this channel. And what I love about this conference is the sense of community that we're building at such a large scale. So again, our tech host will put some links in there where you can join a specific channel, coaching and therapy channel Facebook page, the Embodiment Conference Facebook page. And we also have the opportunity for coffee breaks. Again, opportunities to go deeper, actually have dialogue on what we're learning. And if you could express your appreciation to Bibi now and share in the chat, how are you different from the learning that she's presented today as I'm continuing to make these announcements? You can watch all of these recordings for free 48 hours after the presentation. And we do that because you also have the opportunity to invest in lifetime access of the recording library so that you can listen again. And as we know with embodiment, it really is all about practice. And think about having this particular recording from Bibi, your introduction and your centering practice in the beginning, to be able to listen to that and play that over and over again. When you do invest in the recordings, you also get the audio, so you can listen while you're driving, while you're walking. And there are also some other things that come along with that. You have a structured learning opportunity, you have notes. So it really is an opportunity to continue a lifetime of practice. And again, my reason for supporting this conference, actually, I wrote about a conference like this in my dissertation on exploring the integration of the body and learning 2 years ago. And having a conference like this, building community, my why is right now, this is that crazy embodiment stuff that mom does. So for my two adult children, it's really vital for me that we're cultivating a legacy of practitioners that carry this forward into the world. So when they are open to different alternatives, there will be practitioners there for them. So join us in the Facebook page, consider supporting us. The reason that we can make this available and so accessible for everyone is in the investment in the library. So thank you so much. And with that, Bibi, why don't you go ahead and share your last slide and I will ask my last question.
I will. And I never circled back to the question. Can I just answer that really quickly?
Sure.
Do I coach groups? That's one of my innovations that's coming. I love group work. So being a former therapist, now I want to do it in coaching. And my typical clients are leaders. So we teach leadership coaching. So
great.
I want to answer
Thank
that
you.
Question.
Yes.
And here's the last slide. So this is our favorite quote from Viktor Frankl. So we think it illustrates the principles we're talking about with this intersection of presence and embodiment. And hopefully you've got something different about that from what I talked about. So here's the quote. The last of the human freedoms to choose one's own attitude in any given set of circumstances, from Viktor Frankl, who was a Nazi concentration camp survivor, if you don't know that, a psychiatrist, and he wrote a book, Man's Search for Meaning. Really impactful words. So that's what we're talking about. Can we put our attention where we want it, not where our habits want it?
Yes.
I'll send you off with that.
Great. And that's really key, right? Embodiment provides more opportunities and then to choose.
So absolutely.
Wonderful. So, and so Bibi,
thank you.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you. It was really lovely.
Yes. And so as we close, Bibi, what is your top tip for practicing embodiment?
I would say, I want to say the neuroscience ones. So repetition, some sort of body mind practice over time, something you care about, and it will make a difference.
Beautifully said. So thank you again.
Yes, thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah, for technical support. Thank you, attendees. Again, look forward to seeing our dialogue in our community Facebook pages. And thank you so much, Bibi. It's always a privilege to learn with you and from you.
Thank you, Luann. Thank you, everyone. Have a good evening.
Take care.
Or wherever it is, where you're listening,
yes.
where you're sitting. All right. Bye-bye.